So I repeat, the fourth rank of Al-Qadr is the rank of creation. Allah is the sole creator of everything, including man's deeds. Allah says, Allahu khaliqu kulli shay'in wa huwa ala kulli shay'in wakil. Verily Allah is the creator of everything, and He is the wakil, the guardian, the disposer of affairs, the trustee over all things. And many verses like this. The rank of creation includes the actions of Allah and the actions of His creatures. What does this mean? The actions of Allah are true and real. They confirm or conform to what is entailed by His names and attributes. They influence all of creation in accordance with Allah's knowledge, with Allah's will and ability. Nothing moves, no matter how small it is, except by Allah's will, knowledge and ability. Whomsoever He guides, there is none who can misguide, and whomsoever He misguides, none can guide. And recite the ayah we all in Surah Al-Fatiha. That's why we say, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Guide us to the straight path, O Allah. This is chapter 1, verse 5. This verse confirms that guidance is sought from the one who is able to give it. It belongs to him. If he wills, he gives it. And if he wills not, he holds it. And he holds it based upon a wisdom. Guidance is knowing the truth and executing it. Allah alone is able to make someone knowledgeable about the truth, seek it and work by it. This guidance is something that even prophets and most righteous people cannot offer. This is the guidance that cannot be offered except by Allah. And that's why Allah addressed the Prophet Muhammad in Surah Al-Qasas, Quran 28:56. إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتِ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَعْ. Certainly, O you Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, guide not whom you love, but Allah guides whom He wills. In all of His actions, in all of Allah's actions, there is perfect wisdom. He does not do anything in vain, nor is His action devoid of any meaning. His actions are real, all-wise, and all-just. His creatures and their deeds are Allah's creation. The slave of Allah has a real ability. Look at this. The slave of Allah has a real ability, the creature, has a real will, has a real choice, and has a real action. Man's ability to move and to believe are actions that are truly attributed to him, to man. These actions are created by Allah. Man's movement, standing, sitting, etc., are real actions which Allah decreed, set under His ability. Allah willed and created them for him, for man. Man's will and actions are next to Allah's will and actions. This is the medium and straight way of relating the actions of Allah to those of His creation. This is the course of the righteous predecessors. It stands against two extremes. The first extreme, which claimed that pre-decree deprived man from his ability and choice. This is the first extreme. According to this claim, man has no will and no real action, and that he is just like a feather in the wind. This group is known as Al-Jabriya. This sect is known as Al-Jabriya. This deviant sect is known as Al-Jabriya. Al-Jabriya. This term in Arabic, it stems from the word Jabr, which means compulsion. Those who maintained determinism against free will. These are the followers of a deviant person by the name, this is the one who invented this concept, by Jahm. By Jahm bin Safwan, who died 28, reference to 7:4-5. This doctrine is that salvation was predetermined and that man is in effect could not work either for or against his salvation. Man is just like a feather in the wind. This is the first extreme. The other group, the other extreme, totally denied the pre-decree. Totally denied Allah's pre-decree and the claim that man creates his own actions by his ability and by his will, making, quote, creators other than Allah. I will repeat. This is the other extreme. The other extreme, denied the pre-decree. And these are known as Al-Qadariyya. Those who denied the pre-decree, denied Al-Qadr. And they said, man creates his own actions by his own ability and his will, man creates his own actions by his own ability and his own will independent from Allah. So they made like, you know, so man is like a creator now of his own actions and abilities. That's why the Prophet, listen here please carefully, that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called this group the Magians of this Ummah. Majus al-Ummah. He called them the Magians of this Ummah of Islam, of the Muslims. He called them the Magians of this Ummah. Because the Magians claim that Satan, creates evil and harmful things, making Satan, quote, a creator besides Allah. This group, as I said, is known as Al-Qadariyya. And the Prophet ﷺ resembled them to the Magians, Al-Majus. What is the medium course? The medium course between these two extremes is the path of Ahlul Sunnah, the followers of the righteous predecessors. They said, the Muslim prays, fasts, does good, may do bad deeds, and so forth. Indeed, he is the doer of these deeds because he acted by his will. That's what Allah and His Messenger confirmed. Nevertheless, if you want to know how the Muslim deeds are part of the pre-decree and the will of Allah, then ask the question, what made them do these deeds? The answer, by their ability and will. That's why they deserve either reward for the good or punishment for the evil ones. Everyone agrees to this. The next question is, who is the creator of their ability and will? Certainly Allah. Consequently, their deeds are the creation of Allah. They are created by Allah. Remember that Allah brought to existence their deeds as well as all the means that made these deeds manifested. Where is this? The ayah says in the Quran 76:30, وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ. You cannot will unless Allah wills. This is a confirmation of two things. Allah says you cannot will, so this is a confirmation of man's will. And that unless Allah wills, and that it means His will is under Allah's universal will. Also it is a response against both extremes that we talked about. Similarly, Surah Al-Fatiha, chapter 1, which we all recite, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. And you alone we worship, and you alone we seek for help. This confirms the slave's own actions of worship. You know, he's worshipping Allah. This confirms his own actions of worship, and it occurs only after Allah's help. That's why he sought Allah. He said, we worship and you alone we seek for help. If Allah does not help him and make him able and willing to do this worship, the slave would not be able to perform it. This verse is one more response against these two extremes and those who follow their concepts. Also, listen in chapter 37, also there, verses 95-96. About Abraham talking to his people about what they carve. He said, وَقَالَ أَتَعْبُدُونَ مَا تَنْحِتُونَ وَاللَّهُ خَلَقَكُمْ وَمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. He, Abraham said, to his people, worship you that which you yourselves carve, while Allah has created you and what you make. So this is the concept of creation, the fourth rank of creation. So we have now four ranks. What are these four ranks? The four ranks of Al-Qadr, of the pre-decree, are number one, knowledge of Allah. Allah's knowledge. Second, Allah's writing all things. Everything, he wrote it in the preserved tablet. Writing, Al-Kitabah. Third, the will, the Mashi'a. The will of Allah. And this is universal and judicial, and we describe this. Okay, the Mashi'a, there is the universal will and there is the judicial will. And fourth, Al-Khalq, the creation. Creating. Now we're going to put these four together. The belief in the pre-decree can only be accomplished when all four ranks of pre-decree are realized, because they are firmly interrelated. As confirmed in the Quran and the Sunnah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encompasses all creation, past, present and future ones. He encompasses them. He knows all about their entities, their deeds, their descriptions, etc. He subhanahu wa ta'ala recorded all of this in the preserved tablet in countless texts. So this is the writing. All of Allah's creation is under His will. Nothing escapes His will. Whatever He wills comes into being, and whatever He does not, would not. The slaves of Allah have wills, have abilities, and have choices, all of which are created by Allah. Everything occurs according to the foreknowledge of Allah. It is recorded and follows a course that is linked to specific causes that are part of the pre-decree. I will repeat this. Everything occurs according to the foreknowledge of Allah. It is recorded and follows a course that is linked to specific causes that are part of the pre-decree. Allah gave the believers means, ways, and various kinds of assistance, and kept them away from impediments that they may have weakened the strength of their belief. As the Prophet ﷺ said, اعملوا فكل ميسر لما خلق له أما من كان من أهل السعادة فييسر إلى عمل أهل السعادة. Carry on doing good deeds, the Prophet ﷺ said, for everybody will find easy to do such deeds as will lead him to his destined place for which he has been created. So he who is destined to be among the happy in the hereafter will find it easy to do the deeds characteristics of such people. He subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah, forsake the wicked and evil ones and left them to themselves and did not help them because they turned away from him. So the slave of Allah towards the pre-decree, his position has two levels. First, before the pre-decree takes place and occurs, he should seek the help from Allah, depend upon him and supplicate him. Secondly, after the pre-decree takes place, if the pre-decree is different from what he had worked for, lawful and good, he should be patient and accept the pre-decree. If the pre-decree is a favor that conforms with what he has set up and worked for, then he should be grateful to Allah and should praise him for it. If he commits a sinful deed, he should ask Allah's forgiveness and repent. Because in all of this, he does not know of the pre-decree. And that's why it's kept hidden from us. We don't know of it. So before it takes a place, before it's manifested, the person should seek the help from Allah, depend upon him and supplicate him. Secondly, after it takes a place, if the matter is different from what he had worked for, from lawful and good, he should be patient and accept the pre-decree. If the pre-decree is a favor that conforms with what he had set up and worked for, then he should be grateful to Allah and should praise him for it. But if he commits a sinful deed, he should ask Allah's forgiveness and repent. This is the position of the slave of Allah towards the pre-decree. What about the position of the slave of Allah towards the commands of Allah? And this also has two levels. Before execution of the command, a determination to fulfill the command and to seek Allah's help for its execution should be there. This is the first level. This is the first stand. Before execution, there should be a determination on the part of the slave of Allah to fulfill the command and to seek Allah's help for its execution. After execution, he should seek Allah's forgiveness due to any shortcomings in the execution and praise Allah for all of his favors. That's why Allah says, فَاصْبِرْ إِنَّ وَعَدَ اللَّهِ حَقٌّ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ. So be patient, O Muhammad, verily Allah's promise is true, and seek forgiveness for your fault. This is Quran 40:55. And then another verse, وَإِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ. If you persevere patiently and have taqwa, piety, then verily this is from the great matters which you must hold on with all your efforts. This is in Surah Al-Imran, which is 186. And the Prophet ﷺ in the great hadith said, احرص على ما ينفعك واستعن بالله ولا تعجز. وإن أصابك شيء فلا تقل لو أني فعلت كان كذا وكذا ولكن قل قدر الله وما شاء فعل فإن لو تفتح عمل الشيطان. The Prophet ﷺ said, cherish that which benefits you in the hereafter, and seek Allah's help, and do not despair or lose heart. And if anything befalls you from calamity, misfortune or trouble, don't say, if I had done such and such, then such and such would have occurred. But rather say, Allah did that what He had preordained to do, because the word if, this conditional if, is an opening for Satan's actions. Is an opening for Satan's actions. Some may say, if I had not done that thing, then such and such would not have happened. So many times we hear people say, if some but, reflecting the lack of true belief in Al-Qadr, in the pre-decree. The Muslim's belief in the pre-decree is a source of strength and activity, rather than a pretext for passiveness, pessimism, indolence and inactivity. He acts depending upon Allah and seeks His help. He does not cry over what might not please Him. He looks forward, keeping his aim high with dignity, hoping and trust in Allah alone. Now, in the name of Al-Qadr, in the name of pre-decree, some people say, why should we work and exert efforts when we know that Allah knows everything we will do, knows our destiny to either paradise or hell, and that He is the creator of our deeds? Let the pre-decree befall upon us, and we shall receive whatever comes, whether we will it or not. And there are those who say that. So this is under the text now in the name of three decrees. This is one group of people. Other group of people may say, if every sin or wrongdoing is a preordained matter, so what is the fault of the one who commits them? Both groups, as you say, blame it on Al-Qadr, blame it on the pre-decree. Not only that, but knowingly or unknowingly, this is an accusation against Allah and His names and attributes. For it implies that Allah loves disbelief, loves shirk, loves murder, loves adultery, loves fornication, loves theft, loves ill treatment of parents, and all the sins and wrongdoings that you think of. The mystic Sufis fell deeply into the false belief that Allah necessarily loves whatever He brings to existence. Look at this. This is one of their terrible creeds, that false belief that Allah necessarily loves whatever He brings to existence. And we explained earlier the difference between the universal will of Allah and the judicial will. In fact, to many mystics, everything is Allah, and Allah is the essence of every existing thing. Allah is high above what they attribute to Him. This belief is known to the mystics as Wahdatul Wujud, unity of existence. Exalted and glorified Allah is above what they utter. The fact that Allah wills and creates what He wills does not necessitate that His will is His love. There is a difference between the two things. His will, as discussed earlier, is not the same as His attribute of love. The sayings of both groups that we mentioned, they do not differentiate between belief and disbelief, between good and bad, between injustice and justice. It leads, as Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said, it leads to disbelief in the messengers, the books of revelation. To him who utters the sayings of these groups, Adam and Moses, Noah and his people, Moses and Pharaoh, the early Muslims and the disbelievers are the same. In fact, it attributes injustice to Allah. He is most glorified and high above what they utter. They only blame the pre-decree for their own deeds and free themselves of any wrongdoing. Implicit in their claims is the objective of eliminating the judicial will of His commands, and thus the commands of Allah, the lawful and the unlawful, the promise, paradise, and the threat, hell. And those who do this are in state of disbelief that is greater than that of the Jews and the Christians. He added in another text, if these people insist on their beliefs, then their disbelief is greater than that of the Jews and the Christians. Because the latter believe in the commands, paradise and the hell and the reward and punishment, but they have altered and changed, believed in some parts of their religion and disbelieved in other parts. It is true, brothers and sisters, that Allah willed the existence of disbelief, willed the existence of shirk, willed the existence of sin, willed the existence of disobedience, of theft, of usury, but He, the Most High, hated these matters and commanded His slaves not to commit them. I hope, inshallah, you differentiate between these two things. Allah decreed the results and their causes. Whoever claims that he does not want to go and search for his provisions, but instead waits for the pre-decree, does not comprehend the meaning of the pre-decree of Allah. I will repeat. Those who claim that he doesn't want to go and search for his provisions, but instead waits for the pre-decree to come, they doesn't really comprehend the pre-decree of Allah. That's why Allah says to His slaves, فَمْشُوا فِي مَنَاكِبِهَا وَكُلُّ مِنْ رِزْقِهِ. So walk in the path thereof on earth and eat from His provisions. If Allah had ordained that He will give a person a child, if Allah had ordained that he will give a person a child, it means that he had ordained for this person to have a wife and have intercourse with her. He ordained illness and ordained its medicine, and that when the ill man takes the ordained medicine, he will be cured. The child does not come without a cause. The produce does not flourish without water and soil. Having a full stomach does not occur without food. And quenching thirst does not occur without water or a lawful drink. Allah ordained that Ahmad, a person, supplicates him and seeks refuge in him, and that he answers his call. And Allah ordained that Jamal, another person, will not invoke him and seek his help. But he leaves Jamal to himself and he stays miserable. Allah says, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. And your Rabb said, supplicate me, I will respond to your invocation. But Jamal didn't. So Allah left him to himself. Ahmad did. And sought refuge in Allah. And Allah answered his calls. The best answer for these extreme groups lies in the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, when he was asked by his companions about the benefit of performing good deeds when they are preordained by Allah, the answer of the Prophet ﷺ was, chapter 40, verse 21, the Prophet ﷺ said, اعملوا فكل ميسر لما خلق له. Carry on doing good deeds, for everybody will find easy to do such deeds as will lead him to his destined place for which he has been created. And he recited, subhanallah, the Prophet ﷺ recited the saying of Allah, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى. As for him who gives in charity and keeps his duty to Allah and fears him and believes in al-husna, al-husna meaning refers to the tawheed of Allah, Allah will make smooth for him the path of ease, of goodness. But look at the contrast. وَأَمَّا مَنْ دَخِلَ وَاسْتَغْنَى وَكَذَّبَ بِالْحُسْنَى فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْعُسْرَى. But he who is greedy, miser, and thinks himself self-sufficient, and gives the lie to al-husna, to tawheed, we will make smooth for him the path of the evil. One of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, who understood the meaning of this hadith, said, quote, I have never been so motivated as I am now. Allahu Akbar. The verses that the Prophet ﷺ recited were from Surah Al-Layl, which is Surah 92, and please make record of them, because in this verse there is a response to these two extremes, to the Jabriya and Qadariya, so the two extreme groups. Recognizing the means does not mean that we depend upon them, but we should depend upon their creator. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala said, relying on the means alone is shirk. Please remember this. This is one of the profound sayings of Shaykh al-Islam rahimahullah. Relying on the means alone is shirk. And not recognizing their role as means is a lack of good reason. And not recognizing their role as means is a lack of good reason. Completely turning away from them is an insult to Sharia, to the commands of Allah, to His legislation. True dependence and hope in Allah comprises two things. Comprises the Tawheed and Sharia and reasoning. Indeed, seeking the means alone reflects the heart's dependence and reliance upon them. In fact, no creature deserves this status, because the means are not independent. The means are not independent, meaning the means are part of Allah's creation. They need associates as co-partners as well as contrast. Besides, means that Allah does not make subservient would not be so. This shows that Allah is the Lord and owner of everything. Every means has its co-partner and contrast. So if the partner does not help and the contrast is not averted, the means will not be manifested. Let's give an example. Rain, for example, will not be effective in the growth of plantation except but what joins in of the oil, soil, and etc. of the co-partners with it. Rain, for example, will not be effective in the growth of plantation except by what joins in of the oil, of the air, the soil, etc. The plants will not grow well unless all rotting and spawning matters are removed. This is the contrast. Food and drink will not provide the nutrition unless the body organs are proper and healthy. In short, to have useful results, all spoiling, corruptive, and improper means are to be averted. To have useful results, all spoiling, corruptive, and improper means are to be averted. The end of Shaykh al-Islam's words. Those who take the pre-decree as a pretext for doing sinful and lawful acts should not blame anyone who may inflict harm upon them using the same excuse. Those who take the qadr, the pre-decree, as a pretext and blame it for doing sinful and lawful acts should not blame anyone who may inflict harm upon them using the same pretext. They should not hate anyone or accuse anyone of injustice, regardless of the horrible crimes that they may be committed by them. By all means, their arguments are baseless and may lead the world into destruction. Now, blaming the qadr, blaming the pre-decree, is there evidence for that? Is there evidence for that? Those who blame everything on the pre-decree of Allah try to justify their position by referring to an authentic hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ described an argument that took place between Prophet Adam and Moses ﷺ, and that this argument took place before Allah, and in which our Prophet Muhammad ﷺ informed us about, and he said, احتجَّ آدم وموسى. Adam and Moses argued with each other. In another narration in Sahih Muslim, the argument took place, quote, in the presence of their Rabb Allah. Moses said to Adam, "You are our father. You disappointed us and caused us to get out of paradise." As Adam said to him, O Moses, Allah has chosen you, meaning for direct talk with you, and wrote the Torah with his own hand. Do you blame me? Do you blame me, O Moses, for action which Allah had ordained for me 40 years before he created me? So Adam confuted Moses. The Prophet ﷺ added, repeating the statement three times, حَجَّ آدَمُ مُوسَى فَحَجَّ آدَمُ مُوسَى. Adam confuted Moses. So, in this hadith, there is no real evidence for those who blame the pre-decree for their sins. This is their misunderstanding of the hadith. In fact, Adam did not take the pre-decree as an excuse for the sin he committed when he disobeyed Allah by eating from the forbidden tree in paradise. Allah punished Adam by sending him and his wife down to earth. Adam repented for his sin and asked Allah to forgive him. Allah, the all-forgiving, forgave Adam. In no way did Musa alayhi salam blame his father for the sin for which he, Adam, already repented, and his repentance was accepted by Allah. Musa knew well that Adam repented. The blame Musa referred to was about the calamity which led Adam and his offspring out of paradise. Look at this. The blame Musa or Moses referred to was about the calamity which led Adam and his offspring out of paradise. Adam was referring to the calamity after it touched him as something preordained. And this is true. When the calamity touched someone and it occurs, then he can refer it as something preordained. So whatever calamities had been ordained, the slave's position must be that of submission and endurance. However, it is not permitted to commit sins, and if they are committed, the slave must repent and seek Allah's forgiveness and not take the qadr, the pre-decree, as an excuse for committing sinful deeds. It is justified to refer matters to the pre-decree after, look at this condition, after a sin had been committed and the person repents from it and does not intend to repeat it. In this case, the person may say, Allah had ordained it, just as Adam had done. In fact, there is a benefit for the person who utters such a response, as well as for the person who hears it. Because the response is a recognition of the oneness of Allah and of His names and attributes. Such recognition is clear in Adam's response when he said, you blame me for doing something preordained upon me before I was created. Adam did not dispel any truth in his response, nor did he make of it an evidence to justify any falsehood. Remember that he confessed for his wrongdoing and was punished for it and repented and he was forgiven. So if a person commits a sin and repents and clears himself from it, and if someone later blames him, it is quite good if he makes reference to the pre-decree, saying, this matter which Allah had preordained upon me before I was born. But when he commits something unlawful or abandons an obligatory act of Islam, and although he is reminded about it, he insists on doing it, blaming it on the pre-decree, then in this case he dispelled the truth and adopted falsehood. In the same way, brothers and sisters, the mushriks, the disbelievers, insisted on their shirk, on their disbelief and worship of other than Allah by blaming it on the pre-decree for that. They did not regret their worship of other than Allah and did not intend to abandon their shirk. Allah disproved those who blamed the pre-decree in many places in the Quran. Listen to what He said in Surah Al-An'am. سيقول الذين أشركوا لو شاء الله ما أشركنا. Those who took partners in worship with Allah will say, if Allah had willed, we would not have taken partners in worship with Him, ولا آباؤنا, and we would not have forbidden anything against His will. Likewise belied those who were before them. Listen to the response. Likewise belied those who were before them. They argued falsely with Allah's messengers. They argued falsely, listen, till they tasted of our wrath. Say, have you knowledge, this is the point, have you knowledge or any knowledge or proof that you can produce before us? Verily you follow nothing but guesses and you do nothing but lie. Also, this is in chapter 6, verse 28, and then also in Surah An-Nahl, chapter 27, verse 35. Allah says, وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا لَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَا عَبَدْنَا مِن دُونِهِ مَا عَبَدْنَا مِن دُونِهِ مِن شَيْءٍ وَلَا آبَاؤُنَا وَلَا حَرَّمْنَا مِن دُونِهِ مِن شَيْءٍ كَذَلِكَ فَعَلَ الَّذِينَ مِن قَبْلِهِمْ فَهَلْ عَلَى الرُّسُلِ إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ الْمُبِينُ. Allah in the first ayah challenged them by saying that you have no knowledge of what you say. Did you know that Allah ordained shirk for you? You have knowledge of Allah beforehand, meaning of His preordainment beforehand. And those who join others in worship with Allah say, if Allah so willed, neither we nor our fathers would have worshipped aught but Him, nor we would have forbidden anything without His command. So did those before them, then are the messengers charged with anything but to convey the message? The devil, Iblis, Satan, uttered a similar excuse before these mushriks did the same. Before the mushriks were created, the devil, Iblis, uttered the same thing. No wonder he is considered as the leader of all rebellion. No wonder he is considered the leader of all rebellion. Listen about this evidence from the Quran when Allah says in Surah Al-Hijr, Quran 15, 39. إبليس said, the devil said, O my Rabb, ربي بما أغويتني لا أزينن لهم في الأرض ولا أغوينهم أجمعين. O my Rabb, because you misled me, look at this, because you misled me, I shall indeed adorn the path of error for them, for mankind on the earth, and I shall mislead them all. It is true that whatever Allah will take place, and whatever He does not also will not take place. وَلَوْ شَاءَ رَبُّكَ مَا فَعَلُوهُ. If your Rabb had so willed, they would not have done it. وَلَوْ شَاءَ رَبُّكَ مَا أَشْرَكُوا. If your Rabb had so willed, they would not have worshipped other than Him. Then why did Allah belie them and consider them arrogant? Yet He says, if your Rabb had so willed, they would not have worshipped other than Him. If your Rabb had so willed, they would not have done it. So why did Allah then belie them and consider them ignorant? Because they did not mean to confirm the will of Allah, His ability and oneness. Neither did they want to seek refuge in Allah, depend upon Him alone and ask for help from Him in order for them to comply with His command of abandoning shirk. Had they done so, they would have been right. In fact, they only wanted to dispel the command of Allah by quoting the pre-decree as an excuse, claiming that Allah loves what they do since He willed it to take place. And this is not true. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills something to take place, if this is in agreement with His command, He will love it. If it is in disagreement with His command, He would hate it. Having it to take place does not necessitate that Allah loves it. Shaykh Muhammad bin Uthaymeen rahimahullah said, had they said when they committed shirk, this is something that took place by the will of Allah, but we seek His forgiveness and we repent to Him, we would say to them, you spoke the truth. But when they are called to abandon shirk, and they respond by saying, if Allah willed, we would not have taken partners in worship with Him, and we would not have forbidden anything against His will, then it would not be accepted from them. It would not be accepted from them. But if they had said, okay, this is something that took place by the will of Allah, meaning that Allah willed it to pass, willed it to occur, but we seek His forgiveness and we repent to Him. Also, had it been that Allah condoned their shirk, Allah would not have inflicted punishment on them, because Allah is most just. That's why it says, Allah says, حَتَّى ذَاقُوا بَأْسَنَا, until they tasted of our wrath. Establishing evidence, therefore, belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is His messengers and His revelation that explains to mankind what benefits them and what harms them, making them able to know and comprehend His commands. He also gave them hearing, sight and mind, establishing perfect evidence against them, eliminating their false evidence against Allah's will and decree. Examine this in the saying of Allah right after these verses which the mushrik said. Examine what he said. قُلْ فَلِلَّهِ الْحُجَّةُ الْبَالِغَ فَلَوْ شَاءَ لَهَدَاكُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. Say, with Allah is the perfect proof and argument. Had He so willed, He would indeed have guided you. Indicating that Allah is the sole Rabb, the sole Lord, the King, fully runs the affairs of His creation, and no true God except Him does this. So how come they turn to worship others besides Him? So if the concept of taking the pre-decree as a pretext for committing shirk or sins is right, there would have been no purpose in sending the messengers, this is the point, and the books. And this is accusing Allah of doing aimless actions, and Allah is high above what they attribute to Him. I will repeat. The concept of blaming it, their shirk, to blame it on Allah, okay, as a pretext for committing this shirk or the sins that people do, then there would be no purpose of sending the messengers and the books. And this as if it's accusing Allah of doing aimless actions. And Allah is high above what they attribute to Him. So the point to make here and to summarize what we have mentioned so far is that Allah's will to have something to pass and to occur does not necessarily indicate that He loves it. Someone may argue also. Some may argue by saying, didn't Allah say اتبع ما أوحي إليك من ربك لا إله إلا هو وأعرض عن المشركين ولو شاء الله ما أشركوا وما جعلناك عليهم حفيظا وما أنت عليهم بوكيل. Some may take the following text and you know be confused or think that yes Allah said that you know they will come to the same conclusion as the mushriks have come to when they read the following verse. The meaning of this verse is in Surah Al-An'am chapter 6 106 107. Follow what has been inspired to you, O Muhammad, from your Rabb. There is no ilah, no true God who deserves to be worshipped but him. And turn away from the mushriks. Had Allah willed, this is the point, had Allah willed, they would not have taken others besides him in worship, and we have not made you a watcher over them, nor are you set over them to dispose of their affairs. So somebody might read this verse and say, well, here Allah is saying, had Allah willed, they would have not taken others besides him in worship. So how come you state that Allah disclaimed the mushriks when they blamed the pre-decree for their shirk, while in this ayah, Allah confirms that, quote, had he willed, they would not have taken besides him others in worship. It seems then that they were right, the mushriks, in terms of their evidence. Some people may come to conclude this, that the mushriks were right in blaming Al-Qadr, in blaming the predestiny, in blaming the pre-decree for their shirk. And the sinful also blaming it on the pre-decree for their shirk. The answer is that this verse, in this verse Allah is comforting the Prophet, is comforting the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by making it clear that their shirk is taking place by Allah's will and by his permission. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is called to accept this fact and thus take it easy on himself. However, in the verse which we read earlier, when Allah says, حَتَّى ذَاقُوا بَأْسَنَا, until they tasted of our wrath, Allah disclaimed the excuse, their excuse, by blaming it on Al-Qadr, trying to justify their acts. Why? Because Allah inflicted punishment on them. So they cannot therefore blame it on Al-Qadr. Had it been something, you know, which Allah wanted from them to make shirk, and that Allah likes it, then he shouldn't inflict upon them any punishment. In fact, he shouldn't send them any books. In fact, he shouldn't send them any messenger. You see, the only thing that this ayat is proving for us is proving that Allah willed their kufr to take place. He made it occur, he made it pass, but he doesn't like it, he doesn't condone it. Allah does not make a person bear more than he could. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah bears not a person beyond his scope. If man is compelled to act, then he would be burdened with inescapable things. Certainly this compulsion is false. In fact, if the slave of Allah commits something wrong due to forgetfulness, ignorance, or under compulsion, then there is no sin on him because he is excused. And the fourth point to remember in this response to them is that Al-Qadr, the pre-decree, is a secret. The pre-decree, to blame it on the Qadr, and we know that the Qadr of Allah, the pre-ordinances, the pre-decree, what Allah has knowledge, wisdom, writing, etc., is a matter which is secret, unknown to any creature until it is manifested. This is of a paramount importance, this point. The Qadr is secret, unknown to any creature until it's manifested. The person's will precedes his action, and it is not based upon knowledge of the pre-decree. We don't know of the pre-decree. Our will precedes our action, yet we don't know of the pre-decree. Yes, the pre-decree, Al-Qadr, is a secret, unknown to any creature until it is manifested, when it takes place. The person's will, iradat al-insan, tasbuq fi'lahu, the person's will precedes his action, and it is not based upon knowledge of the pre-decree. He doesn't have a knowledge of the pre-decree. So he's not basing his will and his action upon the pre-decree because he has no knowledge of the pre-decree. Therefore, how can he blame the pre-decree when he has no knowledge of it? Claiming that Allah ordained upon him such and such is false, because it is a claim of knowing the unseen which is only known to Allah. Is that point clear, inshallah? Also, if it is the right thing to blame it on Al-Qadr, to blame everything on predestiny, on preordainment, on pre-decree, Al-Qadr would have been the escape route for the people of hell. However, you all know and you read in the Quran, when they begin to see hell and its magnitude, they don't resort to the pre-decree as an excuse to free themselves from their responsibilities, but rather they call upon Allah to say, رَبَّنَا أَخِّرْنَا إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ قَرِيبٍ نُجِبْ دَعْوَتَكَ وَنَتَّبِعَ الرُّسُلِ. Oh, our Rabb, respite us for a little while. We will answer your call and follow your messengers. You see the point? I will repeat this point. If it is the right thing to blame it on Al-Qadr, on pre-decree, then the pre-decree would have been the escape route for the people of hell. They would have clung to it. They would have a plea against Allah. However, when they begin to see hell and its magnitude, they don't resort to the pre-decree as an excuse to free themselves from their responsibilities, but rather they will call upon Allah for help. Oh, our Rabb, respite us for a little while. We will answer your call and follow the messenger. There they will say, لَوْ كُنَّا نَسْمَعُ أَوْ نَعْقِلُ مَا كُنَّا فِي أَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ. Had we but listened or used our intelligence, we would not have been among the dwellers of the blazing fire. Man is always keen to obtain what suits him from worldly matters. He prefers a good company over a bad company. He does not change to work for, he doesn't, let's say he prefers to a company X over a bad company Y. He does not change to work for Y, blaming it on the pre-decree for the change. Simply, it is more beneficial for him to work for the good company X. Why then it becomes justifiable, quote unquote, to abandon the highly beneficial matters of deen and adopt the harmful matters of shirk of sin and then blame it on the pre-decree when he or she doesn't do this in their worldly life? When they want to choose from worldly matters, they don't do it. If man is traveling towards a specified place, and there are two roads that lead to it, one safe and the other unsafe, which of the two roads will he take? There is no doubt that he will take the safe road. On his journey to the last day, so the last day, the day of resurrection, why does man not take the way to paradise instead the way of hell? If one accepts the concept of blaming the pre-decree for our mistakes and sins, then there is no need for seeking forgiveness, there is no need for seeking repentance, there is no need for dua, there is no need for striving, there is no need fighting for the cause of Allah, there is no need for enjoining what is right and forbidding what is evil, thus proving the falsehood of this concept of blaming it on Al-Qadr. Man does not know in advance what Allah had ordained for him or her. So when he is about to commit sin, he has no knowledge of the pre-decree, and thus he cannot be excused from his responsibility. In summary, the Muslim cannot blame the pre-decree for his sins. He may refer to the pre-decree after committing the sin and after regretting and repenting, saying Allah had ordained and he does whatever he ordains. This statement is permissible to refer to after calamities or misfortunes. There is no more benefit about this subject, and there is more benefit, inshallah, about it to come. Allah bestows upon you from His favors. He does not expect anything in return, nor a benefit from you. He is not afraid of poverty, and His treasures never diminish. He is not afraid of poverty and his treasures never diminish. He does not withhold his favors from you because he may need something from you. He loves generosity, giving, granting, etc. more than you love requesting and taking from him. If he withholds from bestowing his favors upon you, then know that you are standing in the way of your interests, and that you are a barrier to yourself. This is really the case of most mankind. Verily Allah had ordained the obedience. He ordained that obedience can bring about His favors. Allah's favors can only be attracted by obedience, and their continuity could be brought about only by giving thanks to Him. You know, Allah's favors are bestowed on all, just and unjust, wicked and good, believers and kuffar. The obedient to Allah receives distinguished favors for this world and for the hereafter. The greatest favor is Tawheed and worshipping of Allah alone and dying on this. Quantitatively, however, there may be no comparison between some believers, what some believers have and what the kafir has. Content is a distinguished mark in the heart of the believer. The favors of Allah on the believers are blessed as long as they abide by the Quran and Sunnah. The blessed favors are not subject to quantitative assessments. All the favors that the kafir receives are for this worldly life only. The believer is yet to receive by Allah's will the favor of the actual seeing of Allah in the hereafter. And is there anything better? Certainly not. Disobeying Allah holds and delays His favors. Similarly, if Allah bestows His favors and then takes them away from you, it is not due to some kind of greed on His part. You are the cause for having it withdrawn. Indeed, Allah says, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ لَمْ يَكُ مُغَيِّرًا نِعْمَةً أَنْعَمَهَا عَلَىٰ قَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُوا مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. That is because Allah never changes the grace which He has bestowed on a people until they change what is in their own selves. Surah Al-Anfal. It is quite strange that you deal with yourself in this way, accusing and blaming it on the pre-decree. You missed your own opportunity and your reasoning failed to recognize the true means of your happiness. And then you sat blaming it on the pre-decree of Allah. Your faith became corrupt and your heart degenerated because your desires extinguished its lamps of knowledge and faith, and you turned towards Allah's creatures complaining from your condition and blaming Allah for it. When a knowledgeable man saw someone complaining to another person, he told him, "Oh, you complain about the one who is merciful to you to the one who is not." This special paragraph is from Imam Ibn Qayyim's book, Tariq al-Hijratain wa Bab al-Sa'adatain, The Road to Allah and His Messenger and the Road to Happiness in This Life and the Hereafter. An important chapter. Evil is not attributed to Allah.